The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland who joins us as well. Always alongside producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Kelly, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing okay, buddy. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Doing great. Hey, Kelly, by the way, on the show today, we should probably mention, Drew Dinsick is going to join us. Drew was off last week, traveling the Greek islands or something like that. We'll get Drew back. Will Hill will be here later to give us all his bets. And then Paul Spohr, Major League Baseball. We got to talk final stretch of the Major League Baseball season, which is getting tighter and tighter in terms of the final wild card positions in both the American League and the National League now. We'll get into all that, but we must start not only with the two games last night in the NFL, both Monday night games, but we have to start with Circa Survivor. Sadly, this is what happens every year, at least once. Hit it. I'm a survivor. There you go. I'm out. Well done, by the way, Darnell.
Yeah, really DJing back there. I didn't even edit that together. I was just gave him a couple of different clips.
I just want to say this because people were nice last night on Twitter. They're like, oh, sorry, you're out of Survivor. I am not special. First of all, if you're going to lose Survivor, you want to do it one of two ways. One, you didn't even consider another option that would have won.
Right.
And that is me. There was nothing I considered that actually won this week, so I would have been out every which way. And two, the team you grew up loving ends up putting you out. They were fantastic, and you have a rookie of the year bet on the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. So all that is good, but I just want to point out these Circa Survivor stats. There's a few things I want to bring attention to. One, which is not pictured on the screen as we throw up this graphic, but Kelly, just this week alone, 83. So I'm talking about heading into week three, and then what resulted after week three. This is not on the screen. 83.44% of entries were knocked out just this week alone. Of what existed before week three and what has resulted after week three, 83.44% of the remaining entries were out in this week alone. But as far as the week, the 3 week arc of Circa Survivor, I want to call your attention to a few numbers there on the screen. One, 95.5% are out after 3 weeks. That means out of 14,266 entries that began this, only 642 are left. 95.5% are gone. You see the comparisons from the previous 4 years of Circa Survivor. Kelly, there never has been and there never will be another season where 95.5% are gone after 3 weeks.
It's insane.
It's unbelievable. By the way, the Cincinnati Bengals, the biggest culprit of all of this, they've alone have knocked out almost 6,000 total entries just by themselves. New England week one and now Washington week three, 988, by the way, against Washington. If we can throw that graphic up one more time, because there is one other number I want to call attention to, which is the not that one, guys, the old circle one. In the first year of Circa Survivor, the pandemic year, only 1,390 entered. 675 were left after week three. Guess how many? Again, 642 left, meaning are still alive this year when there were 14,000 plus entries.
That's crazy.
There are fewer entries left after week three this year with over 10 times, it's like 11 times the number of entries. It's incredible. It's absolute carnage. And as for the games last, by the way, congratulations to all that are still alive with 642 entries. If you're part of that, yeah. Good on you. Most of that's from picking the Jets on Thursday night. So good on you, and this should be fantastic. Who knows if this kind of carnage will continue, or if now we'll get into a streak where barely anything happens. But it's just been incredible.
One of the other crazy parts of that graphic, just watching how really in front of your eyes how much this contest continues to grow every year. Well, it's incredible.
You know, someone asked, I don't know if it was on Twitter, or someone asked me on text yesterday, do you think the record carnage will make the contest now go in the other direction, that people will be dissuaded from playing it?
Great question.
It's a great question.
So.
And my answer was not a chance in hell.
Yep.
It is just going to grow and grow and grow. By the way, the intrinsic value of each of those remaining 642 entries is,
oh, don't say it, Gil.
Boop, 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 boop. $22,221.18 after 3 weeks. Oh, man. As far as the games last night, Buffalo Bills fans, man, you got me last night. You look great. It's going to be interesting to ask the question about the four teams last night. Like, what's the biggest story? But Buffalo just absolutely destroys the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game that was over, I don't know, almost around the time that the Washington-Cincinnati game started, 47-10. Josh Allen is now number one in total QBR. He's number one in passer rating. He's number one in EPA per play for quarterbacks. He's number one everywhere. He's your MVP through 3 weeks. Four touchdowns for Josh Allen yesterday. And the Jaguars now 0-3 on the season. We have three 0-3 teams, right? Jacksonville, Tennessee, and the Cincinnati Bengals, as they prevent Tennessee from winning that market. Trevor Lawrence now 0-8 in his last eight starts as the Jaguars quarterback. This was a guy who, when I used to ask him right on the lead up to the draft and right after the draft when he was drafted, is he generational? Before I could even finish the sentence, yes, I was told. No, he's not. He just isn't. And so the bigger question is, Bills great, Jacksonville bad. Bills will definitely be in my top 10 power rankings this week, I'll tell you that much. So good on them. And then
it's definitely a bit of both.
Too, it's definitely
right?
a bit
like,
of both.
I mean, like, it almost always is, but I think like clearly in that game, like, Buffalo's even better than I thought they were going to be. And nobody loves Josh Allen more than me.
Listen, Bills Mafia, if you hate on me anymore, that means you hate Jesse Pegula. So stop. Now, as far as the other game, the one that knocked out so many of us in Survivor. Washington, Cincinnati, the first game since 1940 with no turnovers and no punts.
That's wild.
Skins win 38-33. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 23 for 254. 12 carries, 39 yards, three total touchdowns. It's the highest percentage, highest completion percentage, minimum 20 attempts for a rookie in NFL history. The second high, by the way, that's the that's the 21 of 23, right, which is above 91%. It's the second highest completion rate through three games in NFL history for any quarterback, minimum 50 attempts, at 80.3%. Only Drew Brees at 80.6% completion rate in 2018 has been better than Jaden Daniels' completion rate the first 3 weeks of the season. But it's so much more than the completion rate. And for those of us who grew up on this franchise, this is the most excited we've been since RG3, the great rookie season of RG3. Obviously, injuries took care of that for Washington fans. But, you know, the Bengals went up just like your Brownies in Survivor went up 7-0. Bengals go up 7-0. And then 4th-and-2, this was, three 4th-down conversions, 3 of 3 for Washington and Jaden Daniels last night. The 4th-and-2 on that first drive of the game, where he went to Luke McCaffrey for 30. That led to a game-tying score. Later, when it was 14-10, he has been introduced to the incomparable Terry McLaurin, ladies and gentlemen. McLaurin for 55. What a pass that set up Daniels in from 4 himself. That gave Washington a 21-10 lead. And then later, there was a 4th-down conversion on a field goal drive where Daniels did it with his legs. But the biggest of all, of course, the 3rd and final of the 4th-down conversions, 4th-and-4, Washington's up 31-26 late in this ballgame. 4th-and-4 at the Cincinnati 39 with just 4 minutes, 25 seconds left to go in this ballgame. Daniels to Zach Ertz for 9, and then 3 plays later at the Cincinnati 27, Daniels, with his face about to get destroyed, throws it up to Terry McLaurin, the incomparable Terry McLaurin. If you've listened to this show for all the years that McLaurin has been a Washington Redskin, you know that this guy's my favorite skin since RG3. He is, I will take him over every wide receiver, period. What he brings to a franchise. Touchdown on a pass that we have the, by the way, this is Bill Barnwell saying, this is where Terry McLaurin was when Jaden Daniels threw that ball. What a game. There's a graphic. Look at this. If it's too small on your screen, this is where Jaden Daniels let go of the football. McLaurin is just getting past the 20-yard line. Next Gen Stats had the success rate, the success probability of that play being just over 10%. An unbelievable pass, an unbelievable catch, as McLaurin gets the knee down. And Cincinnati did have a touchdown after that to make it a 5-point margin. And they did declare the onside kick. That did not work. And Washington wins it. But my goodness, hope springs eternal now for the co-leaders in the NFC East, the Washington Commodores. So we have now, in those four games last night, what's the biggest story, Kelly? Is it the Washington hope with Jaden Daniels? Is it Buffalo just being that good with the, you know, the after 3 weeks, the presumptive MVP anyway, and Josh Allen? Or is it the futility of the Jaguars and the Bengals? The Bengals, who you and I have both winning the division.
Yep.
And I don't know what's the biggest story of those four.
Yeah, I also saw Cincinnati with the best offensive game of the season last night.
Yes.
Analytically, statistically. It's gotta be Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. Specifically Jaden Daniels, I think is the story.
I have been saying all three of these weeks, what was my comment about him? He's so comfortable, almost too comfortable, I said, right? And he does lull you into this sense of, is he so easy for him? Like, this can't be a good thing, right? He was great at ASU. He was obviously great at LSU. He has been great through 3 weeks. It's early, but Jaden Daniels now your short shot to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at +150.
Yeah, and I think rightfully so. Him +150, Neighbors +250, Harrison +350. I think those all make sense right there.
But he's a quarterback, so it should be a bigger gap.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think the other thing to keep in mind is wild with some of these results is look at some of the defenses that the Bills and Commanders have played against. Like, it's pretty bad.
The Washington Commanders, the last two games under Jaden Daniels, no punts, none. They've never been stopped. Not a single turnover for Daniels yet this year. Coming back with Drew Dinsick next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, un partido de números for those listening in Spanish. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin from Circa. Let's get to your tweets. What do y'all have to say? Always appreciate the tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. Drew Dinsick standing by the way. Stat Muse. Josh Allen at halftime was 22 of 28 for 247, four touchdowns in 18 minutes.
Not bad.
Not too bad. By the way, there was a point in that game where early where it was 14 to nothing and the Jags had 1 yard. Sports odds history. The largest NFL favorite of the week has lost outright in each of the first 3 weeks. There it is. Cincinnati, the culprit in weeks 1 and 3. Obviously, Baltimore getting a lot of people in Survivor in week 2. 2001 was the last time the largest favorite of the week lost outright in 3 straight weeks within the same season. How about that? Thank you, Blake, from Sports Odds History, or as we like to call him, Balake.
Balake.
This is from Circa themselves. These are the stats that I was pointing out earlier. Guys, let's go to the tweets that I had prior to, if you could. But they're Circa Sports. Okay, there they go. And those are some of the tweets we got. Let me read a few more. This is from Kevin Ryan. Gil, is it time to start the conversation that it looks like now 2 years in a row the better quarterback was picked in the number two position rather than the number one? Let's see. Brian M. Oh, yes, the Evan McPherson field goal miss. He said, with regards to the Washington-Cincinnati game, missed field goals should count as turnovers. It's basically the quarterback taking a knee on fourth down for a 7 to 8 yard loss. Bentley. Can't wait for this year's Circus Survivor documentary showing the formation of a class action lawsuit against the Bengals and Larry Matthews Jr. numbers game just in time to distract me from reviewing a 784-page contract at work. Oh, glad we could help. And then the Las Vegas 514, we got a lot of these. Hi, I'm Jaden Daniels, the new rookie quarterback. Hi, I'm Terry McLaurin. I'm a really good wide receiver if you throw me the ball. Gil, they finally were introduced to one another. Yes, they were. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think well, I think there was a lot of us thinking about you last night in those situations. Like, hey, there they are.
There he is, the incomparable Terry McLaurin. I wonder if he introduces himself that way, as the incomparable Terry McLaurin. Moneyline Marv, I expect a full homer breakdown of the game last night. How did I do, by the way, Moneyline Marv? How did I do? And then Mike Stacks. Oh, being in Survivor with a partner sounds like a great idea until you can't agree. Final analysis. Stay solo. Do your own picks and avoid headaches. Cheers to all. A good night. I guess he lost in Survivor and he didn't agree with his partner's pick. Sounds like. And then Ray Pierce. Let me just read this one. I think I have 2024 pegged, Gil. All kinds of random goofy results will happen all year. Then the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. Yep. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds about right, Ray Pierce. We'll read some more coming up. Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And let me just say this. He's glowing. He is radiant. But I'll use the word radiating to describe Drew Dinsick on your television screen right now, fresh from the Greek Isles, at @Will_Capper, co-host of both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports. Drewski, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing tremendously well. Typically after a vacation, I'm recharged. I'm ready to take on work, take on handicapping. Like, let's go. But I don't think I've ever been more depressed returning to life in California. Like, how come I can't just wake up and look at the beautiful cerulean blue sea every morning? Like, this is, very, very, very tough to kind of return to what is a very blessed life that I lead and have nothing but fond stories and things to say about our hospitality that we had in Greece. Had just an incredible time in the islands there and actually got to watch a lot of football. The timing worked out well.
Really?
To catch a lot of the good stuff. So I'm ready for real life to start again, but I gotta tell you, this is about as depressed as I've ever been post vacation.
a lot of sympathy, I'm sure, coming your way. Yeah. A lot of people coming.
Yeah. Real bad for you.
tough life this guy has.
Yeah.
Let me ask you the question I asked. I asked it of Kelly. I kind of was asking it out loud to everybody last segment, which is from the two games last night. The positive of the Bills just steamrolling the Jags and Washington with Jaden Daniels going to 2-1. With an outright win over the Bengals as 7.5-point dogs versus also the futility stories of the Jags and the Bengals both falling to 0-3 and the Jags 0-8 now in Trevor Lawrence's last 8 started games. What's the biggest story of that bunch?
The biggest takeaways I thought were the kind of the crystallization at the top of the market for MVP and O'Roy with the Bills and Daniels.
Yeah.
The negatives, you can point to a lot of negatives, and I don't know, there are a lot of takeaways. And actually, thank goodness Monday Night Football had all of this stuff to talk about because the Sunday action was not great. There are some phenomenal storylines that came out of those last night's games, and I think the fact that Cliff Kingsbury and Daniels and McLaurin are already at this stage in week 3 is pretty awesomely positive. But I will say that was sort of the ideal opponent for them, which is a Bengals team that not only had huge limitations coming into this game, but then had additional injuries to where the rushing attack like took all of the pressure off of the passing attack, which really allowed them to take some of those deep shots. There was hardly any pass rush. And maybe the unheralded positive for the Commanders is I had this offensive line pegged as a bottom 5 unit coming into the season, and they're playing like a top 5 unit. Some of it may be opponent based, but just in general, the fact that they were able to hold off the Giants last week to the tune of kind of getting a win against an elite D-line, and then last night basically just absolutely dominating, I think that's worth paying attention to. And really the surprise success stories that you look at across the NFL all kind of have that similar through line where Steelers offensive line has been amazing. The Saints offensive line was expected to be bottom 5. They've been solid, kind of that aspect of play being able to help sustain offense, which, is hard to come by in today's NFL for whatever reason, has been a huge story. And, I had high confidence in the Bills last night. Two wins for me with the Bills and the over in the nightcap, and I still feel like I left money on the table because they were both such rocking chair winners, both basically home by halftime. But the Bills, Josh Allen is playing at an MVP level, but boy, oh boy, is his offensive line absolutely kicking butt. Like, they are giving him all the time in the world to make the right decision. And if you give Josh Allen time in the world, to scramble if the read 1 and 2 aren't open and you allow him to make plays out of structure on top of what is already, a top 2 quarterback, clearly top 2 quarterback in the NFL, then, he's going to look like this. And the fact that he's got 7 touchdowns and no interceptions, maybe his MVP price is a little bit inflated because presumably the interceptions aren't going to completely, just evaporate from his game. And he'll have, that people will kind of use that as a knock if he does have a couple of loose performances. But what he's able to do both on the ground and through the air is pretty amazing. And I think Bills being sort of your number 1 power rated team, as long as they're this healthy offensively and really key on the offensive line, as long as this offensive line stays healthy and Josh Allen doesn't injure his throwing shoulder or throwing hand, the Bills are going to be a healthy favorite to win the AFC, in my opinion, for the foreseeable future. So big takeaways for me were the more of the positives on the negative side of the ball, we are approaching what is one of my favorite narratives as sort of an armchair commentator on NFL, which is we could have a leave him on the tarmac situation with the Jags heading to London in a few weeks.
Right.
And Dougie P just on this insane losing tear. Because, you look at their schedule, you look at how poorly Trevor Lawrence is performing, you look at how just chaotic and undisciplined and poorly coached the offensive looks to be at this point, and you wonder if they sustain two losses to two bad teams in London, if that ultimately is the time that they elect to pull the trigger and bring in somebody else, because it doesn't really feel like he has kind of established the winning culture that they were expecting him to do in Jacksonville.
A bunch of the Doug Peterson won't get out of halftime to the team plane texts were being flown around yesterday, were being sent around yesterday. By the way, Josh Allen, 2-1 to win MVP. Patrick Mahomes, 3-1. Everybody else is double digits and beyond. And I want to ask, oh, I'm sorry, Kelly.
Doug Peterson, +150 to be the first coach, first head coach
there,
fired.
There you go. Yeah. +150 to be the first head coach fired. How about this from last night? Washington, 7-1 to win the NFC East. I just have to ask. 7-1 to win the NFC East. They're tied with the Eagles at 2-1, just after three games. And because of the Bengals loss, let me ask you this. The unthinkable. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the second short shot to win the AFC North at 2-1. Would you bet either the Commodores or the Steelers in their respective divisions?
I have some I have some positive stuff for the Commodores in general preseason that I was ready to sell to anyone at a discount who was willing to take it. I'm not really thinking that highly at this point, even though they do, you know, obviously have, two hard fought wins in the bank again, you know, one of them against a team that they were expected to clearly lose to. But the Commodores, Commanders, their defense is still quite poor. Their pass defense,
yes.
Especially.
Yeah.
And, you know, so and I'm guessing that Jalen Daniels is going to have the ups and downs that every rookie quarterback does. And in a game where things aren't going well for him and, you know, there's less support from, a running game that can't be stopped, then, they're going to have a tougher time winning. But boy, oh boy, both the Eagles and the Cowboys look fatally flawed. Eagles already with huge health questions, and Cowboys just look, they can't really figure out how to win under McCarthy at this point. So, I don't hate the Commanders. The Steelers, I think the plan with the Steelers is wait until their schedule gets tougher and then take some of the bigger prices in that market.
The gauntlet is still coming for the Steelers, but had to ask. Drew Dinsick on week 4 in the National Football League. Looking forward. That's on the other side, right here in a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Well, perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted. Either way, I introduce to you a little something I like to call Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Now, here's your live update. Live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. We've gotten that part right. Coming to Arizona and Virginia soon. And I mean really soon. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Show would be nothing without you, the greatest listeners in the game, and I mean it. Always appreciate the feedback. Remember, funny is always good. Good, bad, doesn't matter. You can murder us if you want, as long as you're funny. RB Treff, just follow VSIN. Survivor, if nothing else, help me understand women a little.
Okay.
I don't want solutions. Don't mansplain it to me. I just want to feel heard and move on from it. That's it. And a spa day sounds nice. And I wouldn't say no to ice cream. A lot of ice cream. He's very upset that he's out of Survivor. By the way, the reason we talk about Survivor 2 is I said this in the Quest for $9.2 million documentary. I'm like, none of us knows a GD thing. None of us. And it has never been more applicable than it is this year. Jesse Welch. Hey, Gil, hypothetically, if Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers were both to maintain the production that they both just put up in their last game, can Daniels and the Washington market beat out the New York bias to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? Well, yes, because Daniels is a starting quarterback for an NFL team. And if this was to continue, he would have zero turnovers in the entire season.
It's more like can neighbors beat out the quarterback bias.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels has no turnovers. And again, Washington has not punted since week one. It can't be stopped. Jason McKinney, I blame Kelly. Oh, we got a lot of these.
Yeah, we did.
I blame Kelly for our elimination from Survivor since he played the Survivor song prematurely. But you're not to blame for that, right?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, you are? You're taking the blame? Yeah, yep. All right. It's Kelly Bidlin, then. Kelly Bidlin's fault. All of it. This is from Sam. Oh, this is great. Listen to this one. Following up on this after tonight, he goes, I'm in a Survivor pool of close to 100 people. It officially ended tonight. Who won? Well, our organizer made the rule that if you didn't make a pick by 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, you were defaulted to the shortest favorite on the board. So listen to that. So he goes, the person who won the pool never made an actual pick. Auto-picked each week. Vikings week one, Cardinals week two, Ravens week three. All the shortest favorites each week. My initial reaction, he says, is what a terrible rule by the organizer. It should be the biggest underdog. Essentially, he says, penalizing for not picking. Well, here's the wildest part of it. If that was the case, the individual still would have won the pool. That would have looked like the Pats beating the Bengals week one, the Raiders beating the Ravens week two, and now the Commanders beating the Bengals week three. Unreal. And again, that tells you why. Why do we bet baseball and tennis and other things? Because this league is Meshuggah, I believe is the technical term. It's just absolutely crazy. Sly Bri. Officially active, Jameson Williams, Jaden Reed. Officially inactive, Jordan Love, Kenneth Walker, Jake Ferguson, Josh Downs, Marshawn Lattimore, DJ Reed. There you go, DJ Sly Bri. Okay, let's get back to Drew Dinsdale. Let me one more. Sly Bri saying the ultimate definition of mixed emotions was me last night because I did have Cincinnati and Survivor, but then my team, Washington, and the fact that I have Jaden Daniels, Offensive Rookie of the Year, at 7-1. Both of those looking real good. Drew Dinsdale now from the progressive guest line once again at whale underscore capper. NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. And, of course, Dinsick Classic, the deep dive with Andy Molitor. Week four, what are you betting so far? What have you bet?
Well, first to reply to the one tweet that I thought was interesting about Neighbors v. Daniels. If Daniels continues the production we saw last night, he's going to be in the MVP discussion.
That's right.
You can pretty much write, O'Roy would be like minus 10,000.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's possible, but I do have to say that, again, like the offensive line is performing a lot better than we expected. And Cliff Kingsbury seems to at least kind of pivoted away from the horizontal passing game, which was the one thing that I had reservations about that experiment working at all. So we'll see. Week four looks tough. Honestly, there was probably like 10 sides and totals that stood out for me week three, like on the open. And I just kind of, let that ride for the week. But I only see four things that really stand out right now until we get some of the injury reports, a little bit more clarity on what's going on. The injury reports that matter the most are pretty clearly San Francisco and the LA Chargers. I can't believe the Chargers lost basically every important player in that game against Pittsburgh. The Mike Tomlin voodoo is so strong. Makes me want to look at that coach of the year price a little bit more carefully.
You think that's the way to bet the Steelers? Mike Tomlin, coach of the year?
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
He finally got votes for the first time last year, Gil. And this was the year that there was the least amount of support and belief that this team was going to do anything. There was no preseason hype.
Raising my hand.
I bet them fewest wins, and I think they probably already have enough wins not to lose that bet, or not to ultimately win that market. So, presumably, like the way Fields played was good enough in today's NFL to continue to win games when your defense is the best. And so, I'm done kind of doubting them for the time being until their schedule, until they play like a real opponent. We'll see.
O'Connell, McDonald, and Harbaugh still shorter shots than Mike Tomlin, who's still
10-1. Insane. The Harbaugh and Kevin I get the Kevin O'Connell thing, but I really have a tough time, even if the Vikings kind of do get there, if he's going to be the kind of major, if he's going to earn the credit, right? Because so much of it should go to Brian Flores of the defense, right? It's one thing to resurrect Sam Darnold's career, but he was still a top two pick, and you have Justin Jefferson, who's a top one non-quarterback in the NFL. So Kevin O'Connell, to me, I think is going to have a little bit tough time kind of getting the credit pie to where he deserves to be plus 350. McDonald and the Seahawks, to me, and I was kind of going to go there first with week four. They are kind of, and I'm heavy McDonald in this market. I think I bet 30-1, 25-1, everything I could find when I was in Vegas out there for BetBash. And I am very, very, very nervous that the Seahawks are sort of the undefeated fraud in the mix here.
Me too. Yep.
Like, you look at the quality of quarterback that they've played so far. Congratulations. You got Bo Nix in his first start. Congratulations. You got Jacoby Brissett behind an offensive line that can't do anything. Congratulations. You get to play against Skylar Thompson. And I forget even who relieved Skylar Thompson.
And really couldn't put the Dolphins away till the very end. Really?
No.
Yeah.
They really couldn't. And they couldn't put the Patriots took a bit overtime. Mm-hmm. Patriots are terrible. So yeah, that was there is massive fraud watch for this Seattle team, and most of it's on the offense for me. The defense looks decent, and the defense again kind of gets a little fortunate this week going up against the Lions team that I'm expecting to be without Frank Ragnow. I think that that sets up well for, you know, Lions really just haven't showed us any type of chemistry whatsoever offensively to this point in the season. It may come later, but it's not here now. And then you take your center out of the mix. That's huge. The offensive line in general has not done a good job pass protection. And so I think Seattle can give the, and, you know, just again, like I will never forget what Mike McDonald did to Jared Goff in Baltimore last year. That was just an absolute masterclass of how to frustrate a quarterback who really relies heavily on the offensive coordinator to set the table for him. So to me, that looks like a nice matchup for Seattle defense. And then the Seattle offense, I have huge questions about going up against the Lions defense that can pass rush with an offensive line in Seattle that I have, again, huge questions about on the road, noisy arena. So under 46 is the clear, obvious standout for me there. I know that it's come down from the opener 48. I bet it at 47, actually, but I still think 46 is too high. This one should be closer to 44, in my opinion. And in general, like this, that ultimately could just be a battle of attrition where, you know, best special teams field goal unit, 10, you know, ends up being the deciding factor in that Monday night football game. So, a lot of thoughts on Seattle. I hope they keep winning. I hope McDonald stays in the mix for coach of the year, but boy, oh boy, did I need to see more, out of that team overall against, you know, against real competition. And this is your first real test. So, fired up for that game. The other ones stood out to me sidewise. I'm going to be the donkey that goes to the well and takes the Bills money, Bills plus money this week. I'm not seeing it with the Ravens. I know that the ultimate final score against the Cowboys was not indicative of what a, you know, just an absolute class, you know, put on display that was by the Ravens. But last year's Ravens don't give up that lead. They, you know, bury the Cowboys 40-3. And there are problems with this Ravens defense, the special teams, the penalties, like a lot of things about what the Ravens are doing right now look pretty questionable to me. And everything that the Buffalo Bills do, you know, just speaks to them being an absolute truck. I know it's a short week. I know that we've seen a lot of teams come off of really impressive primetime performances and then just absolutely lay eggs the following week. The Bills to me should be a pick 'em in this game, not plus 110 on the money line. So give me some plus money Bills. The other two sides that stood out to me are the Jets at -7. I played that at -110. I think you can still get that price around. Nothing about, you know, the Jets having extra rest to prepare for Bo Nix spells success for the Broncos offense in this contest. And I think the Jets are kind of building a little bit of momentum here in general on offense. So give me the Jets -7, prefer -110, but don't mind laying -115. And then lastly, I see no separation between the Saints and the Falcons. Saints offensive line performing well enough to hold off the Falcons' meager pass rush. I think that Saints can win that game.
Drew, no more vacations during football season, okay?
I'm done.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'm going to wine country in a week, but I'll still be on with you guys.
Okay. Thank you, Drew. Drew Didzik, everybody, at @whale_capper. We'll come back. Awards in MLB and NFL next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A special numbers game investigation reveals that the NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Our all-new VSiN NHL betting guide is out now, with strategies for betting the NHL, including previews of all 32 teams, Stanley Cup odds and predictions, and of course, best bets. Start your Visa Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99 to reserve your copy of the guide, plus get instant access to our daily best bets, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video access, and exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Don't miss out. on our must-have NHL betting guide packed with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those that are brand new to the sport. Sign up for just $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. I'm just laughing because this... Oh, the tweets are so great. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. It's truly grateful. Real Bozarth, master of puppets. He says, well, Survivor was fun. Had the perfect roadmap until tonight. I love people who go out of Survivor. It doesn't matter if it's after week one. Oh, I was set up so perfectly.
That was me on Sunday. Cleveland or Cincinnati. I'm going to pick the better schedule here, Gil.
It's like Chrissy's old story where this guy comes up to the desk back in the day at Cal Neva. And it's like, oh, my God. He had like an 8-leg parlay. He goes, oh, my God, the Jaguars just cost me my parlay. It was like the first leg of it, you know, whatever. Well, the Jaguars.
Those were always the great ones.
Mr. Bomb Apple, the incomparable one. There you go. Buries the Bengals survivors picks. Truly impressed by Daniels tonight. By the incomparable, he's referring to the incomparable Terry McLaurin, of course.
Do you think Jay Daniels on that throw was planning on throwing it out of the back of the end zone?
No, I think he actually thought he
really?
Was going to. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Because he's got the incomparable Terry McLaurin. Anything is possible.
Whoever hit him was in his face immediately.
He stood in there. No. I completely believe he was throwing a touchdown pass.
I took it as like 80% this is out of the back of the end zone, but I'm going to leave a slight little sliver for my guy to maybe get it.
Next Gen Stats said it was a 10% plus possibility that play worked. Rich PSM. Daniel's easy rookie of the year at this point. He doesn't even look nervous, and they haven't stopped him once. All those things we were talked about. Game looks easy to him. Another number two pick away better than number one, he says. We have some others. This is, yes, New York Mets 60. Let's talk about how he hasn't been introduced to McLaurin yet. Mr. Daniels, Mr. McLaurin, Mr. McLaurin, Mr. Daniels. Nice to finally meet you. I like that. On Drew's segment moments ago, these are great. Nick at Real Nick's, he says, congrats for booking the lost member of the Bee Gees on your show. Who knew he was a betting expert? That's one. And then Manny Davison tweets and he says, Drew should start a podcast with Jesse Pegula called Our Depressing Lives. So great.
You got to do it out of like an island resort.
Yes. So sad that you're back home in Long Beach. Scotty B 726. Oh, this is a great point from Scotty B. I want to bring this up too, because I sort of casually said this. And then as I said this, I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't say that anymore. And Scotty points it out. He says, are we sure the back half of Pittsburgh's schedule is tough? Cincinnati and Cleveland might equal four wins. I don't know about four wins, but your point is well taken. I think what we perceive to be a gauntlet doesn't look as gauntlety, if I may say it that way, as it once did. So I shouldn't say that anymore about Pittsburgh. Might not be.
Yeah, that was part of the point of Drew looking at Tomlin, coach of the year, right? Liking that path.
Yeah, Bill Walsh, not that Bill Walsh from the grave, but another Bill Walsh, says, did not foresee Survivor having the same attrition rate as the perfect bracket contest after the Thursday afternoon session of games on day one of the tourney. We have reached peak Plinko. That's right, copyrighted numbers game. Absolutely. And then Johnny Vegas. First year I was in Survivor, told myself I wasn't going to play the top pick all year. Didn't see Bengals being it this week, and I'm gone. Woke up this morning a little sad to dreary, rainy weather. Will definitely play this contest the rest of my life. It's a rush. Absolutely. So many great tweets. We'll get to more up.
There's no way it's going down in popularity because of how much we've talked about it already these first few weeks.
I said to Derek, I ran it to Derek, and I casually threw it. I go, you do realize I was the only one talking about this the first year. and he sort of like ignored me and he just kept going. It's like, okay.
I mean, you know how many shows outside of the VEASAN network I've heard bring up Circa Survivor
all talk
contest?
About it
like
now.
Everybody talks
they
about
They all
it.
Talk about it now. But I think it's a valid question. Somebody probably it's a great question.
Yeah.
Let's look at a few awards, shall we? Do you want to start with MLB or you want to do a couple NFL?
Let's go MLB. Because I know you had some thoughts on these. Let's hit those before we get because we're gonna have Will in here next.
Do I have thoughts? Maybe I have thoughts. Oh, okay. Well, let's see what they are. Major League Baseball.
Right now,
I usually have thoughts.
NL Skeens -145 at DraftKings.
Okay, I am not involved in this. Will will have thoughts coming up as well. Will Hill with all his bets. But I said this casually yesterday because it came up briefly at the end of guessing lines. You're handicapping voters here. That's all you're doing. And again, the reason I took the Tigers to make the playoffs over betting Skeens at plus money last week is because I'd rather have it resolved this week than have to wait till damn near Thanksgiving to find out who ends up being the NL Rookie of the Year. If you're asking me what my hunch is that Paul Skeens is going to win the National League Rookie of the Year over Jackson Merrill. Skeens right now is minus 145. Merrill is plus 115. I think if you're thinking about placing a bet right now, it's a coin flip, right? My hunch is it's Skeens, but I have no idea because you can make a case for both of them. And I know people are passionately on the Skeens side and people are passionately on the Merrill side and they try to disparage the other side. There's no disparaging one side over the other side on this. You can make a case for both. But my hunch is that most of the voters are going to go with Skeens because just on the thought that you can't shut him out completely after what is near Cy Young type numbers, really, in his rookie year. As great as Jackson Merrill was, as dramatic as that 1 week, and I know I'm not trying to belittle him to 1 week, but that 1 week where he had those dramatic home runs late in games that really catapulted him. He's had a great season. I get it. But I think it's Skeens in the end. Could be wrong.
Now, with us running out of runway, obviously these odds can shift more dramatically right here with less games. What happened though in the past week? Merrill just he get a little cold at the
point? Skeens had a great last start again. So it's I just feel like if you throw Skeens' stats up on the screen, it's kind of hard to argue with.
Well, they're insane. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like, wait, what are we even talking about?
I thought it was funny when we first started talking about, I guess most recently when we started talking about Merrill really making this charge, it was kind of funny to me how far back he was dropping in the Cy Young market, because technically the two aren't related at all. No. One's a pitching market, one's a rookie.
And remember, Merrill got to like minus 1,000 at one point in there. Yeah.
Insane. All right.
Stupid for not betting Skeens then.
Luis Gil minus 225. Colton Cowser plus 235. Austin Wells plus 370. Is this really a three horse race?
I am amazed at how Luis Gil has been the favorite and not a negligible favorite in this market. Like, I really don't get it. I would actually bet Austin Wells. Like, I would actually take a flyer on Austin Wells. I would not on Colton Cowser. I think the New York bias will win out here. It could be Hill, but Austin Wells at plus 370 strikes me as value when you're just, again, you're trying to anticipate what voters are going to do. I think that's a bet there. If you insisted on betting one of these, Wells plus 370 would be mine.
Okay. I like it. All right. You want to switch to NFL?
Yep.
Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. Well, I think we've covered this.
Would you bet it right now though? I know you've got a bet.
No, I wouldn't bet it. I have it at 7-1. But if you're asking me, would I bet Jaden Daniels now as the short shot at, what was he, like less than 2-1,
plus
right?
Plus 150.
No, I wouldn't. It's only three games, and God help, you know, I hate to say it. I don't even want to speak it, but you know what I'm going to say, right?
Yeah.
There's a possibility guys don't get through a whole season. So that's obviously the big concern in Washington is please don't get hurt. But if Neighbors is plus 250, Marvin Harrison is plus 350, Caleb plus 650. I guess the question becomes, beyond those, is there something that is of interest? And, you know, there's a lot of people who like Brock Bowers at 30-1. I don't. But Bo Nix at 15-1, like if you believed so much in Bo Nix, that would be the only other interesting one to me. But I'm not betting it because I don't have interest in Bo Nix.
Yeah, or if you somehow knew, like, I don't know, Drake May was going to start this weekend or something, and you wanted to take a 60-1 with the rest of the season left to play. Like, I think I could ride with that. This market's really tough, I think, right now, because plus 150, I think Drew kind of brought it up, right? He could be... I mean, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, yeah, he might be minus 300 or something like that. But at the same time, I'm not. Yeah. It's too early in the season. Too many things that can go wrong between now and the end of the season. I don't know if I want to jump on a plus one.
He also brought up the notion of Jaden Daniels as an MVP. Jaden Daniels is like a bajillion to one as MVP. This is like a, you know, when Skeens was the prohibitive rookie of the year back earlier in the baseball season, and it was the question, oh, could he also win Cy Young? I think the same thing relates to Jaden Daniels here. As long as the Josh Allens of the world exist, he's not going to win MVP over Josh Allen, most likely.
It would have to be like a massive season.
He'd have to have zero turnovers like he has now. They'd have to like never punt again, which is what's happening now. But it's, you know, that's why it's a 17 game season. It's not a 3 game season.
Tress Way with the best job in football, Gil.
Well, he's just chilling on the sideline.
Hey, just sit here.
Keep getting those fourth downs, Jaden. We'll come back. Will Hill with all his bets, baseball and football. the final week of the baseball season, and man, are these races for the final wild card close. Coming back, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.